Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. A lot of places are hot. A lot of places are dry, Holly. And hard to water those plants. But with the tree diaper, that job's taken care of for you.
Yeah, if your plants could talk, they would have a few complaints about maybe not being properly watered or watered too much, either too much or too little. But how do you water it properly? Take the guesswork by using the tree diaper. Tree diaper is a revolutionary watering system that stabilizes soil moisture by taking up excess water and slowly releases it into the plants or the soil when it needs it. The tree diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, a tree diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Keep your plants happy at treediaper.com. You can find all the sizes they have available. Made in the USA, that's treediaper.com.
Absolutely works, and works phenomenally. treediaper.com. Well, as we are gardeners, we often see things in our garden that concern us, and things that we kind of know what to do about, and other things that we go, well, maybe if we don't do anything, it'll go away. Oftentimes, we worry about things in the garden, and if you're the worrying type, there is a verse in the Bible, if that's interesting to you, that says, don't worry, but pray about everything. You can look it up. That is something that may help you out. But there's a number of things here in the garden that we don't need to worry about that you may think is concerning, but we're going to go over them so you don't have to worry about them ever again.
Right. So the first one is maple leaf tar spot. So this is a fungi. You will see it. You've probably seen it. You've probably seen it, not even realized it, because it does affect a wide variety of maple trees. And it also affects a large portion of maple trees. And so this is a dark spot on the maple leaves. And it looks like somebody took a permanent marker and put like a little circle spot on each and every maple leaf. And it's just a fungi. And it does not affect
you. Not as fun of a guy as you think it is.
No. It does not affect you or your soil, and it's perfectly fine to use those leaves on your garden.
Right, because that does not transfer to other species, so of plants. Another thing in which people are concerned with, and we see a number of these questions across multiple social media platforms, is there's mushrooms in my soil. There's mushrooms in my straw bale garden. What do I do? What do I do? Is this bad?
No, it's not bad. So mushrooms are just another one of those fungi that we live with, and they just occur in the soil. And if a lot of times people will get them at the same time every year in the same spot, and they'll say, you know, is there anything I can do to get rid of them? And it's like, they'll go away. Usually.
Don't do anything. That is great soil you got there.
Now, people do get concerned because their children or their dogs might eat them, and you definitely don't want that. So maybe you can block off the area.
Just knock them over with
the tool. Yeah, just knock them
tool.
Over, whatever. You just leave them alone. You live in harmony with the mushrooms.
Algae is building up on my rain barrels, the clear ones, some of the more opaque ones, the white ones, you can see what's going on inside of them. People are concerned that that is not good.
Well, algae, no, it's not a problem.
Well, look at ponds.
Right. Ponds will have algae.
Streams.
Look at Lake Michigan.
Right.
That's an entirely different
problem. But algae bloom, that's a different detrimental
different
environmental thing.
Absolutely. Algae in your rain barrel is perfectly fine. It will just add, if anything, a fertilizer boost to your soil.
Right. We're talking, you know, a little bit algae. If the whole thing is, you know, just a gob of algae, there's more issues there. You don't want the whole barrel to be algae.
No.
Just a little bit on the walls.
Right.
It's fine.
Right, that's perfectly
normal. Not palatable for humans, but good for plants.
Don't drink that water. So if it does get out of control, or the water starts to have like a really funky algae, like a dead fish smell,
right,
then you want to drain your rain barrel, and you do want to take a solution of 3/4 cup of bleach with 1 gallon of water, and scrub that rain barrel, and then that should help.
Now, some people may say, well, how do I get in that rain barrel? Because there's just a little a little hole in the top. Well, you might have to do some hard handyman work and open up that hole a little bit bigger in order to get in there. Now, there are companies, and they're not a sponsor of the show, and I don't have specific names, but there are companies in which provides tablets in which you can put in your rain barrel, which is totally safe, but it prevents the algae from building or growing inside of it, kind of neutralizes that type of environment. So that is something that you may want to look into.
Right. And that's perfectly fine as well, especially if it's not going to affect your plants.
And a big one here we see a lot of, my zucchini plants, my pumpkins, my vine plants are all wilting. Well, what's going on outside? Well, it's 112 degrees. These plants who have that have large surface areas will wilt or reduce the surface contact that they have available. Now, disclaimer, if these plants don't return back to full strength when the sun goes down, you've got other issues such as vine borer in your squash. If the plants are just wilting during the hottest portion of the day and returning to full strength or full surface area at the sundown or early in the morning, you want to keep them watered, but this is a natural occurring method of reducing surface area to prevent the plants. They're keeping cool the best they can. You see this very commonly in the agricultural field with corn, even when the soil is moist, but this is more common when the soil is dry. The leaves of the corn will curl up super tight to reduce the surface area, to reduce the amount of heat that they're absorbing. So with sweet corn or agricultural corn, or in this instance, wilt on vine crops, this is normal if it returns at sundown and after the sun goes away. If it doesn't, then you have other additional issues to look at. Another one here is I've got purslane, but people don't know what this is.
Sure. So purslane, it's a weed, essentially.
A good weed.
It's a good weed, and it kind of grows level with the ground, and it has more of like that succulent leaf looking structure. And this is actually a very, like Joy said, it's a good weed. You can actually eat it, especially when it's in a more a younger stage. You can eat it because it has high omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin A and C.
And you can eat it. Now, with any disclaimer here, with any plant, you need to be sure you're 100% sure of what it is before you consume it or feed it to people. But it has a unique taste to it, and it has a very, like Holly said, a very beneficial properties in it. So that's something you want to be aware of. What many people often stress about is weeds, Holly. Got to have everything picture perfect, magazine cover, beautiful, PBS program, they're coming to film today, pristine garden.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what makes you happy, and if you have the time. But weeds are not, they're not a problem until they become a problem. For the most part, if you have weeds, and as long as they're not completely blocking out your plants, they're not choking up the roots of your plants. Weeds typically have, like some weeds do have deep roots, but most weeds have shallow roots, and they're not going to affect the deep roots of your plants as your plants become established. So weeds are not a huge problem. I would, however, try to prevent weeds from reseeding. Mm-hmm. That's what's important. So if you know, go out there, you see weeds that are 3 inches tall, you probably do want to start thinking about, you know, at some point pulling them. If you go out there and your weeds are like an inch tall, I wouldn't worry about it until, you know, you...
Well, some
you
weeds
can also... You can also kind of rotate what you pull to so you don't feel like it's overwhelming and kind of break your garden up to get rid of the weeds.
Right. You can pull the smaller weeds and lay them on the soil to prevent to create a mulch. And some weeds, in the hottest portions of the summer, if they are low-growing weeds, they can actually, in some instances, you can label it as a living mulch. They can reduce the amount of sun on that soil and prevent some moisture from escaping from the soil, even though that plant is using some of the moisture in order to grow itself.
Right. Just like we talked about purslane. Purslane is what I would call like a ground cover weed because it is level with the soil.
And it doesn't last long.
And it doesn't last long. Now, if you have something where maybe it's like huge thistles, you do want to pull those. Those have quite a taproot and they do overtake a little bit. Another thing is sometimes we've seen weeds as what people call as trap plants, where you might have a weed growing next to a tomato plant, and that weed is full of aphids, and those aphids are not bothering the tomato plant. Leave it there.
And the last one on our list, Holly, is dog vomit. Not what actually comes out of a dog's mouth, but it is a fungal growth that appears at a glance to look as if a dog did return its dinner.
Right. As Joey had said, a fungus.
It comes in a couple of different colors, too.
Yeah. Fantastic. So this is something that's perfectly normal. A lot of times people see this if they do straw bale gardening, or they just see it somewhere in their garden. But it's fine. Just leave it be. And it just means that you have some good, healthy spores.
And you'll see, and there's a couple of different ways this occurs. Sometimes on wood mulch. Other times you'll see it grow up the stalk of a pepper plant and kind of consume the lower half of the pepper plant. And then within 24 hours, it has dissipated and you couldn't even tell it was there. If you see it, don't touch it. Just let it do its thing. It's not harmful. I mean, don't be eating it. But if it's on edible fruit or leaves, make your own conscious decision on whether or not you should scrub that particular portion of the plant before you consume it, or just toss that particular portion of the plant before you consume it.
Right.
Well, that's some of the things that in which you don't have to worry about this summer. But one thing you do have to worry about, I guess, if you don't want to, like we talked about, pray about it, it's going to be those nasty Japanese beetles that are going to be wreaking havoc if they are not already. And I've already seen some, so they're probably in your yard too, Holly.
Yeah, if you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, you can look no further than BeetleGon from Phylum Bioproducts. It's derived from a naturally occurring soil bacteria. BeetleGon is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. You just mix the powder with water and spray on your plants. Once it's ingested, the targeted pest will stop feeding and die. And since it's the only organic...
Isn't that sweet?
I mean, it's better than eating your plants.
Yeah.
And since it's an organic BT product, you know it is a great choice to use on your fruits and veggies, in addition to your ornamental flowers and trees and shrubs.
Not only does BeetleGon work, but what is the best part about the product is that it's safe around beneficial insects such as butterflies, bees, and ladybugs. With zero water toxicity issues. BeetleGon from PhylumBioproducts.com. That's BeetleGon.com, BeetleGon.com. And you can use coupon code GARDENTALK10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. Hang out with us, author.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.